Good morning, church family. You made it. It's 8:30 and you're here. So proud of you guys. I'm hoping David gets a real good kick about that time we hit 9 o'clock. Maybe we'll get a few more people that start kind of funneling into, but it's always fun to try something a little bit different. So thank you for being here this morning as we get started with our new Sunday morning schedule. In case you weren't aware why that's changed, it's because we're starting our Sunday morning Bible classes again. So directly after this service, beginning at 9:45, we will have those classes starting. So if you're not sure of all the classes that are going on, I'll try to do that as quick as I can here. Birth through 12th grade is all going to be going on over there in the education wing. We will have adult classes in here, the GPS class going on upstairs, and then also a young adults class going on back in room 109. So lots of options for things going on today. I hope you'll get to stick around for that. And again, thank you for being here with us this morning. A couple of other announcements I want to share with you as we get started today. Don't forget that this coming Thursday is our next night of 100 casseroles. I'm always excited about that. It's one of those things that I just love that we get to do for this community. So if you have questions about that, contact Lee or Tammy Jones. I think they've already been making posts and they're getting things set and ready to go for this week. So Thursday from 5 until we hand them all out. I don't know that we've really ever made it to 7 very often. So we'll see how we can do this week. I know it's a new year, so hopefully we can be reaching out to this community and continue to serve with that great ministry we have. As we get started this morning, I'm going to share with you some verses from 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. It's been a crazy last, 10 months with so much going on and in our world, in our country. And as we get ready to start this new year, I know we're thinking it's already the end of January, but I still feel like we're just getting started with this. We need to know that God is there, and God has always been there. And if we put our faith, if we put our hope, if we put our trust in God, he will take care of us. Let's pray together as we begin our worship today. Father, we know that you are here with us now. Father, we know that you are a God who loves us, a God who has chosen us. And we know that you are a God who is in control of this world. Father, today as we have this opportunity to come together to worship as one, may our hearts sing out to you. May we rejoice in knowing that you are God. Father, we thank you for the love and grace and mercy you constantly show to us, for the blessings that you rain down on us each and every day of our lives. Father, we pray now for our country as a new administration has begun. Father, we thank you for the ways that you will work from this day forward, for the ways that you have worked in our past, and Father, for the ways that you will always work. Lord, we are grateful, we are thankful to know that the things that we do in this world are temporary. And Father, that someday we have that hope to be with you. Father, may we worship you now with all that we are. We love you, and we thank you again. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to try to sing these first two songs as one. I'll try to do my best to seamlessly meld them together. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts into his presence, we bring an offering of song. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else, and we come to and worship at your feet. We place you on the highest place. For you are the great high priest. We place you high above. And we come to you and worship at your feet. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, fount of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to glory divine.
I can't turn pages fast enough. I can't wait till tomorrow when I get new glasses where I can actually see that. Fourth verse.
Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Here's another fast one.
Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know.
Praises to him I sing, onward I go. Closely to him I cling, blessings still flow. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. I seek his favor in everything I do. Walking with him each day, love light doth shine. Doing his will always, never repine. Kneeling to him I pray, thy will not mine. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. I seek his favor in everything I do. Happy to serve my friend, lean on his arm. Rapture will never end, nothing alarm. Voices will sweetly blend under his charm. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior. He loves me too. I seek his favor in everything I do.
All right, before the lesson, we'll sing Ancient Words.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world where'er we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, let the
going to stay down here. That mess frightened me off, you know. Good morning, church. Let's go to God in prayer. The song Doug selected for this morning before my sermon makes me pause. I thank Father that there is a great responsibility placed upon me to speak your words and not my own. I ask Father you'll help me to do that. I pray as we go into some new things this morning or the restart of some things that you'll bless us to be able to do your will and to do it well and to make your words be the power that moves our lives. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit's power that empowers those words, that they'll be a part of our lives, that we will find not our strength in ourselves alone, for if we do, we will fail, but may we find ourselves strengthened, empowered, given the ability to do beyond what we would normally be able to do by your Holy Spirit working within us. And Lord Jesus Christ, we will conclude our prayer by saying in your name, but may we not take that lightly. May we realize the authority by which we stand and by how we act in the name of Jesus Christ. May we never take that lightly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. I know it's a little early for some, and we appreciate you putting forth the extra effort to be here. Like Wes was saying at the beginning of our service, that we are starting our Bible classes this morning. We're excited about doing that. We want to do it safely. We want to do it in the best interest of everybody concerned and trying to get everybody to the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And I'm sure we have failed in different places. So please be patient with us. Give us some grace. And we'll do better each week, hopefully, in learning how to do this in the best way possible. So stay with us afterwards for class if you can. And join us. We have classes for all ages, and I think that's an important thing for us to be a part of. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 2. We're going to look again at the cleansing of the temple. Let me explain the reason why I chose to preach these particular lessons at this time. February the 7th, the first Sunday in February, we're going to try to start back with our small groups. And this morning, if you're interested in knowing some of the small groups that we offer, there is a table out in the lobby that has several little cards on it. And if you would like, you can sign one of those cards and be a part of one of the small groups. You'll also be receiving by email an invitation to do that online. And you may prefer to do it that way. But we encourage you to sign up for a small group. And that's not all the small groups will offer, but at this point, we know we have those small groups, and then based on people signing up for more groups, we'll add to the groups. What I'll be doing beginning February the 7th is preaching on Ezra and Nehemiah in our Sunday morning service on the 1st and the 3rd of the month, and that's the Sundays that we're encouraging people to be involved in a small group. And the small group discussion will come out of what I preach on Sunday morning, which of course we'll be talking about restarting the temple and the holy city of Jerusalem. That's what Ezra and Nehemiah are about. But I thought before I started that series of lessons about restarting, I thought it was important for us to understand that really, when you get right down to it, that the church hasn't restarted. We're just restarting a few of our methods that we have. Let's not ever think that we have to restart the church. The church started through our Lord Jesus Christ on that great day of Pentecost through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's been going strong ever since. Satan's tried to stop it, but he can't do it. And we're going to keep working and making God's name glorious. And the reason why the temple is so important is that the church is the new temple. Not the building, but the church, the people, the body of Jesus Christ, with Christ Jesus as the head and the foundation of that church, that temple. And so I thought it would be good for us to go back and re-emphasize that before we start our small groups and we start teaching lessons about restarting the temple, that we remember that we are the temple, the church. So let's read from John chapter 2. And this is the story of Jesus cleansing the temple We believe the first time. We believe he did this at least in the Passover week, the first year of his ministry and the last year of his ministry before his crucifixion. He may have done it at every Passover. Beginning of verse 12 of John 2. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and there they stayed for a few days. And when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at the tables exchanging money. So he made a whip of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle, and scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And then the Jews demanded of Jesus, "What miraculous sign can you show to prove your authority to do this?" And Jesus answered, "Destroy the temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And the Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said, and they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is a very important part of the ministry of Jesus. And if we're right in seeing this as being the first time he did it, and then later in the Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke, where it tells this story, if that's at the end of his ministry, right before his crucifixion. Basically, bookended at each end of his ministry, he has this powerful statement about what the temple is supposed to be about, and what God's word and what God's people are supposed to be performing in the lives of the community. And he says, you've abused what the temple is about. But to understand really why Jesus did what he did, I think it will help for us to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy 16. And I want you to notice what it says about the celebrating of the feast. Now, this is before they entered the promised land. This is as they're journeying across, and they're going to cross over the Jordan River, and they're going to enter into the promised land. And it's going to be years from now before they build the temple. But I want you to notice what it says about the place for God's name. Deuteronomy chapter 16, and notice verse 16, or we'll start at verse 15. "For 7 days, celebrate the feast of the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. And the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and all your work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you." Now, the place that he is speaking of is Jerusalem. And later, the temple will be built in Jerusalem. And so Jews were expected to make this journey to Jerusalem. And these were the feasts when they were supposed to go to Jerusalem and to celebrate, and they're supposed to bring a sacrifice worthy of whatever the feast was. And so that's an important part of understanding what Jesus is doing in this. And we're going to talk about that in a moment this morning. Now turn back to the New Testament. I want you to look at a passage in Mark before we jump into the details of this. Mark chapter 11. I want you to notice verses 15 through 18. Mark 11, 15 through 18. And this is the end of Jesus' ministry. Right after this, Jesus is going to be crucified. And we'll talk more about that next week. So Mark 11, verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it into a den of robbers?" And the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, and they began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Now I want you to think about why Jesus was so angry. Why did he get so angry that he would, and you know, sometimes I've heard people speak of this, and they try to soft sell this idea of Jesus being angry. Jesus was angry. There's no other way to put this. And the sin of anger is when we let anger get out of control and when it causes us to do things that we should not do. Jesus was not sinning in his anger, but he was angry. And I want you to understand why he was angry, because this is important for us to understand. To begin with, Jesus believed with all of his heart, and it goes back to Deuteronomy 16, that this was the place for God's name. God's name was to dwell here. But look at what's going on here. Instead of God's name being lifted up, instead of singing of praises, instead of people talking about God's word, instead of people being filled with thankfulness and joy because of God's deliverance at the Passover time, what's the sound you hear as you come up on the temple courts? It's the sound of buying and selling. It's the sound of merchandise. It's the sound of animals in the courtyard. It's the sound of people hawking their wares. It's people saying, "No, you can't get into the temple because you don't have the right sacrifice, or you don't have the right kind of money to pay the temple tax." That's the sound you hear. Not the glory of God's name. And Jesus said, "This is God's house. This is not your house. This is not your marketplace. This is not your Walmart. This is not the community place where you come to have your coffee and to lounge around and to sell whatever you have to sell. This is not what this is about. This is God's house. Where's the holy reverence for God here?" And he said, "This is a house of prayer. This is supposed to be a house of prayer to the nations, not just to the Jews." A subtle thing that shows up in this, if you read it in the Greek language, is that there are two areas of the temple that are often referred to in the Greek language, because that's the way the Greeks did their temples. The naos was the place where God dwelt. The heros was the part where it was allowed to be used by people. God was in the holy place, and the other place was considered the courtyard. As you divide the different areas of the Jewish temple, there are some similarities in that. This is the courtyard that even the Gentiles were allowed to enter. But the reason why the Gentiles were allowed to enter into this area was so that the Jewish people could witness to the Gentiles about the God that they believed in. This is God's house. We are gathered here in God's name. We are praying to our God. We want you to know about our God. Now think about what the Gentiles, many of them probably non-believers, but curious about what all this is about, are walking up into the courtyard, and they're hearing the buying and the selling and the exchange of money and so forth. They're not hearing prayer. They're not being invited to come to know God. They're not hearing the witness of how great Israel's God is. In fact, if anything, they're hearing the opposite. Our God's no different than your God. I mean, why do you worship the God you do? Well, because you're concerned about money matters and prosperity and peace. Well, that's what he's about for us too, you know. You'll want to know about our God because our God's no different from your God. And the Gentiles are thinking, why would I want to trade my gods for your God? And Jesus said, this is to be a place of prayer for the nations. The unbelievers, the people that know nothing about God, have a place to hear the witness and the prayers of God's people. But it's not. Secondly, Jesus was angry because of the abuse of the sacrifice. When they made this journey to Jerusalem, if possible, they were to have an animal set aside to be sacrificed. And they keep it in preparation for that day to where it's without blemish and it's ready to be offered to God. For many, this was a very difficult journey. It's a long journey. And to keep an animal ready for sacrifice all throughout that journey was an arduous task. Very difficult to make sure that your animal is going to make it all the way to Jerusalem. And before it'll be offered on the altar, the priest will inspect it very carefully to make sure that this is a worthy sacrifice to be offered to God. And oftentimes people would find that as they brought their animal to be sacrificed, that it had been scratched, or maybe its eye had been infected through the dust and the grass that it had wandered through on a journey. Or maybe it had even got into a fight with another animal on the way. And after all this journey with this animal, they would find that it was not worthy for the sacrifice. The Passover was special because a lamb was to be offered. The Passover lamb would be offered for the nation, but each family was to offer their sacrifice. And it was almost impossible if you had to travel any distance to bring your sacrifice and have it to be able to pass inspection and be able to be offered. And so instead of the emphasis upon the sacrifice of the lamb, going back to the Old Testament, to the Exodus story of the Passover and how the blood of the lamb was put on the doorpost and death passed over that household because they had made that sacrifice in obedience to the will of God. And the blood of the lamb was on the door. That's not the emphasis. Jesus knows that just shortly he is going to give himself as the offering, the Passover lamb. He's going to become the new Passover lamb. He's going to give his life so that sins will be forgiven, so that spiritual death will pass over those who in obedience join in sacrifice by giving themselves with Jesus as the Passover lamb. And yet here he is, he comes to the temple, and the symbol for that, the Old Testament allusion to the sacrifice that Jesus will give, is a mockery. There's no respect for the Passover lamb. There's no regard for what it means. It's something you get through. It's something that the priest is going to offer the lamb for the nation, and we'll get this done. We'll get this over with, and we can go back home. Or we'll spend maybe a few weeks here enjoying the sights and being involved with family in Jerusalem. But the emphasis on the Passover sacrifice is a mockery right now. In addition to bringing your sacrifice, you're supposed to bring a free will offering also. Something that you give just out of the blessing that God has blessed you with. But again, it's a difficult thing to do. So what happens is that you get there, and either you've had to travel without a sacrifice and you have to buy one when you get there. And in order for you to buy one, you have to exchange your Roman money for temple money. You see, you have to have the right kind of money to be able to buy a sacrifice. If you weren't able to bring one with you, you can buy one there. They have animals available. And if you didn't bring your free will offering, you can buy one there, but you got to have the right kind of money. But you had to exchange your money for the temple money, and the people at the temple got to tell you what the exchange rate was. And it kind of makes you forget how important the sacrifice it is. And then in addition to that, you have to pay a temple tax even to participate. And of course, for that, you have to have the right kind of money also. So in this, the sacrifice and what it means is lost. But then there's a third reason I believe Jesus was angry. The abuse of the people. And I've already alluded to this in all of these things. Because it is an essential feast, because it's one of those that they have to be there, it's a great time to take advantage. Because there, the priest and the people who work for the priest are in quality control. They determine whether your sacrifice meets the standard or not. You may have done the very best you can to make sure that that animal is ready to be sacrificed, but they determine whether it's of the quality it needs to be. And it's easy to take advantage of the people. And then the money has to be exchanged for the right money, and they determine what the exchange rate is going to be. So it's not like you bring your dollar and you know you're going to get the equivalent of 100 pennies or 4 quarters. No, the exchange rate is going to be whatever they determine it is. And in temple money, you may be taking a dollar and only getting 50 cents. And they said, well, this is not enough. You got to come up with more money. They took advantage of the people. And then the people, I think, were taken advantage of in the whole meaning of what it is to have a prayer witness for God. Here was an opportunity for people who lived maybe great distances away from Jerusalem. And on this occasion, they come to worship God together at the temple. It's a great opportunity for them to pray together with brothers and sisters because they may rarely have the opportunity to do that. And here's an opportunity for them to share how God is working in their lives. And all of that is wasted because the whole attention is on the buying and the selling, the merchandising of the temple. And it made Jesus angry. Jesus was angry. I wonder if we have some of the same things in our churches today. I wonder if Jesus coming up on our churches, if he might wonder if we have lost the meaning of some of these things. Maybe what it means for this to be a place of God's name and a place of prayer. Would he wonder if he were to come into one of our worship services, would he begin to wonder if maybe we've lost the meaning of the sacrifice? That maybe, like for example, when we take the Lord's Supper, we really aren't thinking about what it really means. That our thoughts are about other things. And would he feel like, and this is a thing that really scares me, would he feel like that we're abusing the people? Would he feel like that we're making the emphasis about all kinds of other things and not the needs of the people? I pray that's not the case. I pray this morning that the Lord would be happy to come and worship with us. I feel like he would feel that he's come into a place where God's name is lifted up, and it's a place of prayer. I hope that if Jesus were to visit our worship assemblies, that he would feel like that there is this strong emphasis on the Word of God and a strong emphasis upon the sacrifice and what it means for Jesus to die for us and for us to give ourselves in sacrifice to him. And I pray that God and Jesus Christ were to visit our worship assemblies, and don't forget, he is. that he would say those people are more concerned about the good of others than themselves. That they'll sacrifice whatever it takes to help people have their needs met and to do it in the name of the Lord. I pray that's what Jesus would find if he came to worship with us. Don't you? As we restart our Bible classes, our small groups, our other worship assemblies, some of the things that we do in the community that we've had to put off, as we try to restart, let's don't think about it in terms of the methods, about the routine of what we do. Let's think about the meaning of why we exist as a church, the temple of God. And let's do it in a way that would please our Lord. After all, it's his church, not ours. He is the head of the body, not us. He is the foundation upon which we build, not our traditions. And let's make God happy. Let's make Jesus happy with the way we go about being the church. Doug, would you prepare us for the Lord's Supper?
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior, lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
We have the privilege to commune with our Lord and Savior this morning and with each other. ...2020 was a tumultuous, trying year for a lot of people. But we have a covenant with our Lord and Savior. We have a covenant that he started this thing and he will finish this thing. And he asked us to have faith in him. And as we take communion this morning, let's put those thoughts aside. Let's focus on what Jesus did for us and the eternal promise we have through him. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body,
which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for the promise, the eternal promise we have with you. Father, as we partake of this bread this morning, may we be willing, as you've commanded, to forgive those that's trespassed against us, so we may have a clean heart and a clean conscience as we commune with you this morning. Father, may we take this bread in a manner that is pleasing to you. And Father, may we live up to the covenant that you've given us, the promise that you've given us, the eternal word that you've given us. Father, help us to take it in a manner that's pleasing to you and not judgmental and not condemning. Thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And we look forward to that. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity we have to commune with you this morning and to commune with each other. Father, we pray that our hearts and our minds are where they need to be as we live up to the covenant we have with you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Father, as we take this cup, may we do it in a manner that's pleasing to you and will edify and glorify your kingdom. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to take a big risk here because in all my years, I have never heard this song led in any of our services. And I mean in all of my years. And yet I think it's unfortunate because this is probably next to the greatest commands, maybe the prettiest song in Paperless Hymnal. A couple of years ago when we were in New Mexico, I was thrust into the position of having to lead our chorus in the absence of our chorus leader. And this was one of the songs that we sang, and it very quickly became almost my favorite. So I'm going to take a chance here because I run the risk of making this a dumpster fire, but I'm going to hope that we can get through this. I'm probably not going to follow the arrangement perfectly because I know it a slightly different way, but it's a very easy tune to pick up on, and as you'll see, it is a beautiful, beautiful song. Lord, let your light of your face shine on us. Lord, let your light of your face shine on us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the darkest night. Let your light shine.
shine on us. Lord, let your grace, grace from your hand, fall on us. Lord, let your grace, grace from your hand, fall on us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the darkest night. Let your grace fall on us. Lord, let your love, love with no end, come over us. Lord, let your love, love with no end, come over us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the darkest night. Let your love come over us, that we may be saved, that we may have life to find our way in the darkest night. Let your love come over us. Let your light shine on us.
Before we have our Shepherd's Prayer, I want to go over a couple of important dates. This should be all up there above my head here, since most of you guys aren't looking at me now. I'm guessing that's right. Don't forget, today at 5 o'clock, we will have worship right here in the auditorium. We will also have our family Bible class for our children's ministry and for their parents across the street in the family center. So join us if you can tonight at 5 o'clock. And then, of course, don't forget, right after this at 9:45, we have our classes this morning. Don't forget, we just started this past Wednesday. We'll continue on this Wednesday with our Bible class, Getting to Know Jesus Through the Old Testament. It's 6 p.m. right here in the auditorium, if you can come and join us. And then, if I'm correct, singing class, is that right also, in room 109? Is that correct? All right. So singing class also in room 109. And then also as a bit of a precursor, once we get to Wednesday, February 3rd, the youth group will be meeting in the Family Center on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 7:30. So just know that that's coming up too in a couple of weeks. Also, don't forget, on Sunday the 31st, that's next week, we will have a Fifth Sunday Singing at 5 p.m. right here in the auditorium, so we'd love for you guys to come and join us and be here for that. And then also in 2 weeks, on February 7th, we will have the official kickoff restart for our small groups. So if you get a chance, check things out in the foyer there where you can sign up for those small groups. If you have questions about that, come see myself, see David, find one of the elders. We want to get you plugged in and connected there as best that we can. So Jim's going to be coming up to pray for us, but make sure you're staying in touch with all the different things that are going on. Hopefully you're either checking out the website or you're getting emails, you're on our Facebook page, whatever it may be. Lots of information out there. If you haven't been getting any of that, come and see us and we'll make sure we get that to you.
I want to thank everybody for being here today. Appreciate it. David, thank you for the lesson. Doug, thank you for the singing. Wes, thank you for introducing some of our dates and things like that. need to continue to remember. We have lots of people that are suffering from various ailments and illnesses. Lots of people fixing to start or about to start chemo treatments for their cancer, so remember those. And also lots of other things. Also want to continue to remember the family of Perry Elliott, Meldine. Hearts go out to you, so we just appreciate you. We also have several additional families starting to have to deal with the virus and quarantines and things like that. So continue to remember all the members of our family here and throughout the community that are affected by that. I want to read a quick scripture from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs with the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray and be prepared to go to class and then also have a great week. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you bring to us. Dear Father, thank you for our staff and ministers as they continue to work in specific areas to help us as a congregation to serve you and to be aware of the word that has been provided to us, that we may follow your word and do the right things as we come in contact with others. Help us to serve our seniors, help us to serve our youth, help us to serve our children, help us to serve our not only our congregation and those that are shut in, but also those that are out in the community, and help us to reach out to them. Thank you for all the work that's done here. Thank you for the blessings you give us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.